Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We are going to continue our series of messages on the Sermon on the Mount. We set aside that series for a period of time while we were enjoying the holidays. It's a wonderful time of year, and believe it or not, it'll be back around before you know it. Sometimes too fast, but it will be back. But in the meantime, we'll continue our studies in the book of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. Do you have to win every argument? Do you have to have the last word? Do you have to be heard? Do you have to be in front? You may ask what's going on, and let me tell you what's going on. I've been convicted by the Holy Spirit during this week as prepared this message, and I really don't want to go through this alone. the message today speaks to me just as much as it speaks to possibly some of you. The problem with all of this is simply a person that constantly insists on their rights and who has to win all the arguments. When something goes wrong, it's not their fault. That's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. When we push ourselves to the front of the line, when what we have to say is much more important than what others have to say. What is absent in the life of a person like this? It's found in our text today. It's found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. And it's called the spirit of meekness. Do you have the spirit of meekness today? Stand with me as we honor the word of God as we read our text in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the holidays, dear Lord, and all the things that we've been able to enjoy, being with family and just enjoying our time and thinking, recognition of your son's birth on this earth, dear Lord. We're so thankful for that time. And as we move into this new year, dear Lord, I pray that we will strive to be more, to be stronger, to grow in the Lord, dear Lord. And I just pray, dear Lord, that we will make this new year a year unlike any that we've had in the past. That when we get through the end of this year, we can say that we have had a better year than we've ever had before. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Help us, dear Lord, to understand the subject matter of the message this morning, and help us to receive this message with the right spirit. We thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus, as he speaks to the multitude, he makes this statement, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The world would not say this. The world would say that the way to inherit the earth is by strength. But Jesus says the opposite of that. Jesus doesn't say that to the self-righteous Pharisees, you will inherit the earth because of your supposed self-righteousness. He doesn't say to the zealots of that day, you will inherit the earth because you have a military plan that will overrule the Roman government. He doesn't say to the Sadducees, you will inherit the earth because you are open to everything new and innovating and against tradition. No, Jesus says those who are meek and those that will inherit the earth. There's never been a politician that has run for political office that has run on the platform of meekness. I've never had anyone come to me and ask, preacher, pray for me because I am lacking meekness. I want to develop it in my life. No one has ever asked a prayer at prayer time in the church, I need more meekness in my life. During this past week, we have thought about family issues and about work issues and financial issues, but we never thought about meekness. I wonder why. Is it that we don't need meekness in our life, in our heart, that we got this area conquered? Is it that we have so much meekness that the Holy Spirit would never convict us of something we already have? Maybe we're not convinced that we need it. Let me ask a few questions to see if you need it. Do you deal with people in a harsh tone? Are the words you say harsh? You could have used a kind word, but instead you used a harsh word. A sweet word could have been used. But instead you speak harshly. Maybe you speak harshly at home with the kids. Maybe you speak harshly on your job with your colleagues. Is there a coldness in your speech? If there is, you need meekness. Are you constantly trying to get more, always wanting bigger, always wanting better, always wanting brighter and newer? How long has it been since you have been content? Are you constantly reaching for things and for power and for stuff? Are you vengeful? Someone hurts you and you say, I'm going to get my pound of flesh. They will rule the day that they ever crossed me. They hurt me and I will get even. They didn't know who they were messing with. I'm going to show them who's boss. These things show us that we have a tremendous need for meekness in our lives. Are you controlled? Are you uncontrolled in how you lead your life? This will be shown in the message this morning. The comparison of the lack of control and meekness. Do you ever lose your temper? Do you ever lose your tongue and say things you shouldn't say? Do you have any control over the passions you have in your heart? If you have not control over your life, you need meekness. We're going to look at what the Lord meant when He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Remember in the beginning how we learned that the word blessed in the Greek was makarios. They called the island of Cyprus Makarios because it had everything needed to sustain life. It was fertile. The weather was great. Everything was good. And the ancient Greek world called the island Makarios because of this. This is the word that Jesus is using. And when He says, blessed are they. Jesus is saying, here is the way to fulfillment. Here is the way to satisfaction. Here is the way to happy life. The happy life is not found by seeking happiness. It is found by seeking meekness. Happiness is the result of finding meekness. There are three things I want us to see from this passage this morning. As we look at this passage, first of all, I want us to see that the meaning of meekness. What does meekness mean? What does Jesus mean when He says, blessed are the meek? There are many misconceptions regarding the term meekness. Some would say that meekness is weakness. That's a very wrong way to think about meekness, that it's weakness. Would you say that Moses was weak? Moses, one day, looked out his window. He saw an Egyptian who was abusing one of the Israelites. And he went out and he killed him and buried him in the sand. Moses led a group of 2 million people across the wilderness who constantly groaned to him about the circumstances. Yet in Numbers 20, chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." How about Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, where it says, "For I am meek and lowly." Yet he took a rod with many cords tied onto the rod, and he drove the people out of the temple who had perverted the temple. He overturned the tables. They had become a den of thieves instead of a house of prayer. We have Jesus, who is the image of weakness, and he is beating and running these people out of the house of God. Meekness doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you more of a man. Because you have passions, your mind, your temper, your tongue. You have your whole life under control of the Holy Spirit of God. Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." If you live without self-control in your life, you are like a city that is broken down without walls. It's just a matter of time when the enemy comes in and destroys your life. Do you know of anyone living out of control? No discipline in their lives? Listen, meekness is not being timid, shy, bashful, faint-hearted. People get the idea that when people are shy and can't make eye contact with others, that they confuse that with meekness. That is not meekness. It is shyness and timidity. Meekness is not being nice. There are nice people all around. They don't have to be heard. They're not loud. They're not bossy. They're nice to be around. I have a cat that's that way. Pretty nice to be around. That doesn't mean they're meek. Being nice is not the same thing as being meek. What did our Lord mean with the crowd he had around him when he was saying, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth"? The idea of meekness is the idea of strength under control. Strength under control. Power under control. And he used three different ways in the first century. This word meekness is used three different ways in the context of the first century of our Lord. Doctors use this word to describe a soothing medicine. There would be a person sick and who was in distress, and medicine was given to the patient and caused him to be soothed from the discomfort. That soothing medicine was called a meek treatment, a meekness. The word was used by sailors who were out on the open sea. They had just come through a violent storm. The gale winds had been blowing, and now there's a soft breeze blowing on the sea. It was known as a meek breeze. The word described a young colt that had been broken. It was strong and wild, but it is calm and controllable. When the colt was broken, it didn't lose any of its power. Did it lose any of its ability to run with the wind? No. The difference is now all of his strength and his energy and power is under control. For this is all God wants to do with you. That's what he wants to do with you in the spirit of meekness. God doesn't want to take away your intelligence. God is waiting, wanting to take all that you have and that you are and you are, and put it under the control of the Spirit of God. He doesn't want to take anything away from you. He wants you to be in line with the Spirit of God. That is the spirit of meekness. It's spirit controlled. Here, there are some examples in the Bible of people who had weakness. There was Abraham. Abraham and Lot had been blessed by God. They had their herds and their herdsmen, and their God had blessed them and then multiplied them, and the herdsmen were arguing with one another about what area they should graze their herds in, and they couldn't get along. And Abraham, he approaches Lot, and they have this discussion. Now remember, the covenant was made with Abraham and not Lot. The covenant was made with Abraham. The promises were made to Abraham and not Lot. So Abraham spoke to Lot and said, which way do you want to go, left or right? And he could have said, I'm the uncle and you're the nephew. I'll tell you where to go. The covenant was made to me and not you. He could have said, I'll tell you where you can graze your herds. But Abraham, with the spirit of meekness, said to go one way and I'll go the other way. Did Abraham have the right to insist on his wishes? Of course he did. He had the right. Abraham was meek. Now think about Joseph in the book of Genesis. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night for those who were with us. He was a favorite of Jacob. He was a favorite. His brothers were jealous of him. And they sold him into slavery. They had no idea what had happened to him. But behind the scenes, God was working. He was putting everything in place in perfect time, in a perfect way. Joseph, who was at one time in a pit, but God had put him into the palace of Pharaoh. He put him in the palace. Famine came into the area, and Joseph's brother had to go to Egypt to find food. Guess who they had to beg food from? Joseph, the brother they had despised, the brother that they had put in a pit, the brother that they had sold into slavery. Joseph. They had to stand before him. He has all the power at his fingertips. He is in control of the distribution of the stored food. What will he do? Well, it's time to get revenge. It's time to get that pound of flesh. It's time to get to even the score. But Joseph doesn't do that. He has a spirit of meekness about him. There's something more important to him than revenge. More important than payback. It is God's will for his life. That's more important. He would eventually say to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. When you feel the urge to get even, when your time has come to get even the score, you're going to regret doing that to me. Don't discount what God is doing behind the scenes. Then there's David and Saul. Saul was the king, but God had rejected Saul and anointed David to be the next king. David has had multiple opportunities to take Saul's life, but he refuses to do it. One time Saul was in a cave and David gets close enough to cut off part of his clothes. If he's close enough to cut off part of his clothes, he's close enough to kill him. David refuses to touch or harm God's anointed. That's the spirit of meekness. We see from these three examples that meek people do not seek revenge. Meek people do not insist on their rights. Meek people honor the plan of God for their lives. There's a second thing I want us to see this morning. There is the meaning of meekness. It is the power under control. It is the strength under control. It is a total reliance on God. The second thing is the development of meekness. How do I become a meek person? Listen, first of all, it's not inherited. You're not born with it. You do not naturally have it. We are born with a sin nature. We are born to say, I want my way. Our inner being says, I'm going to get even. Our flesh says, you owe me. You're a dirty dog, and you're going to, and I'm going to show you a thing or two. That's what I'm going to do. But there are three things that we can do to develop meekness. If you want to be meek, first of all, you must be submitted to the Son of God. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus speaking says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." First of all, I want you to notice how it says, "Come unto me." There's an invitation to come. This invitation is good to the children. He's saying, "Come unto me," the children. He's telling the teens to come. He's telling the young adults to come. And he's telling the older crowd to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. It is only when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus can a spirit of meekness be developed in our life. Some people say that the Christian life is hard. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say the Christian life is hard. He said it was impossible. The only way you can live a Christian life is if you are in the yoke with Jesus. That you are in the yoke with Him. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." He said, "I am meek and lowly." If you want a meek spirit, you must submit to Jesus. You've got to yoke up with Jesus. Learn from Jesus. You will see His life. You will see His kindness. You'll see His tenderness. That He doesn't insist on His rights. That Jesus doesn't try to win arguments. You will see that Jesus is the meekest person that ever lived. When Jesus was faced with someone who had sinned, He showed tenderness and kindness and love and compassion to them. You need to be submitted to Jesus. Secondly, you need to be open to the Scriptures. James chapter 1 verse 19 through 21. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." You need to be open to the Scriptures. As long as we have the attitude that the Bible has parts in it that do not belong to us, that we don't agree with, that don't fit our personality, we will never have the spirit of meekness. So we submit to Jesus, we open our hearts to the Word of God, and little by little, the spirit of meekness starts to develop in our life. We must be filled, thirdly, with the Holy Spirit of God. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Notice it says fruit. It's singular, one fruit. When you have one, you have them all. If you want to have meekness, you must be yoked up to the Son of God. You must be open to the Word of God. And you must be filled with the Spirit of God. The third thing I want us to see here this morning is the reward of meekness. What do you benefit by having meekness in your life? The reward of meekness is, he said, "Blessed are they, the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It is future tense. They shall. Sometime in the future, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37 and 11. The psalmist says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Jesus had quoted that statement from the Old Testament and brings it over into the New Testament. It applies to Christians everywhere. If they will have a meek spirit, they shall inherit the earth. It is understanding. It's interesting in this psalm that the word wicked is used many times. It's not a pleasant time. It's not a time of peace. It's a time of turmoil and hardships. But the psalmist encourages them. In verse number 3, he says, trust in the Lord. Verse number 4, he says, delight thyself in the Lord. Verse number 5, commit thy way to the Lord. Verse number 7, rest in the Lord. Verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And then verse number 11 that we read before. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The spirit of meekness will not lead to revenge. It will lead you to rest in the Lord. When you have those days and nothing goes right, you have argued, you're exhausted, you're stressed, you have literally worn yourself out because of the attitudes that you've had during that day, you need to rest in the Lord. You need to rest in the Lord. There was no rest like the rest that Jesus will give you. We are going to inherit the earth. You know, this is one day future. Jesus is coming again one day. And He's going to establish His kingdom. And when He establishes His kingdom, we're going to live and rule and reign with Him. We will have inherited the earth. It's my desire this morning for each and every one of us to examine our lives, just like I've had to this week. The human nature so oftentimes rises to the surface when we get into conflicts. We say things that are out of line. Our tone is without love. And sometimes we don't always demonstrate a spirit of meekness. Jesus tells those that are around Him in the beginning of His ministry, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Are we going to inherit the earth? We are called to be, in the Bible, joint heirs with Christ. We are going to live and reign with Him. We will have inherited the earth. As you examine your life this morning, I wonder where God has impressed upon your heart. Where did He bring the conviction this morning? Are we meek like we ought to? Is a word, an antiquated word that we don't use today and we feel like it just doesn't apply, or we feel like we've got it conquered? We feel like that we got that part under control in our life? How does the Lord convicted you? I really struggled this week thinking about things that I have done, things that I have said. I hope that you too will have examined your life and see areas in your life that you can be different. You can be more like God wants you to be. What is meekness? Strength, power, under control. Under control. Not always having to get your way. Not always having to win the argument. Not always being first. This morning, if the Lord spoke into your heart, I ask you to respond to the invitation as His gift. You may be here this morning and you're struggling with life in general. You don't have the Lord as your Savior. You're still testing the waters. Still thinking about it. Is this the right decision? I've never met a person in my life that
that got saved and said, boy, I'm glad I waited to this stage before I got saved. I've never met a person that said that. They always would say, boy, I wish I'd have done this earlier. At a younger time in my life, I wish I had made that decision at a young age. If the Lord has spoken to your heart about salvation, I pray that you'll make that decision today as we have the invitation. Maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart about some other issues the Lord has spoken to you about and you'd like to make things right. I just pray that you will listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart. Listen to Him. What has He said? Has He said something to you today? I hope that you will respond as He has spoken to you today. This is your opportunity. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. And thank You for who You are. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for reminding us this morning how that our attitude can be adjusted to show meekness, dear Lord, instead of arrogance and self-will. And dear Lord, I just pray, dear Lord, that You would just help us. Help us to develop this in our life. Help us, dear Lord, to look to You, to be yoked up with You in our lives. Help us to be open to all that the Bible has to say in our life. Help us, dear Lord, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God as He tries to lead and guide us in our life and to make us as You would have us to be, dear Lord. Help us to be everything that You would want us to be. As we stand here this morning, dear Lord, if there's some that need to be saved, dear Lord, I pray that they will make that decision this morning. I pray that they will surrender their heart to You, asking for forgiveness of their sins and inviting You to be a part of their lives, to yoke up with them. Dear Lord, thank You for all You do for us. Thank You for Your many blessings. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.